And we thank you for the word, the Bible. We thank you as we open it this morning. We ask that you would soften our hearts and cause our hearts to be tender, to receive, and to not make logic, to really obey. Because in surrender, that's when we find peace. In obedience, that's how we grow. That's how we experience heaven's blessing. So yes, Lord, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and you saints say, amen. Amen. What happened to the middle light? The ceiling light. There you go. It's coming up. There you are. Let there be light. And there is light. So yeah. And it's, of course, it's always good to have my oldest child here with us worshiping Jesus. Welcome, Priscilla. James works, so I was like, James, you got to change work, man. Yeah. But yeah, God knows. that's good. So in recent weeks, I've been talking to you guys about to be real. Last Friday, we watched this movie here called The Great Awakening. There's a couple. I think next time I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to have my notebook and my pen because there's so much in that movie that's like, okay, I need to write that down so I can remember. But there's one scene in the movie where Whitfield is talking to Washington. He's like, come on, man. Why don't you get it? Why don't you repent? But then during the scene, Washington went on saying, you know what? I don't want this. Benjamin Franklin, yeah. He says, yeah, you got it. Thanks for clarifying. He's like, I don't want this because my dad was a preacher and he was a hypocrite. So he says, I know God exists. I believe God exists. But my problem is, I don't want that because my dad at home, he was a preacher, but he was one person at home and one person at the church. You know, we talk about be real. Examine yourself. Are you for real? Are you one person here? And one person at work? One person when you drive your car? One person behind closed doors? You know, in the past couple of weeks I talked from, just going to do a quick recap for those of you who missed it. James chapter 4, 10, it says to submit under the mighty hand of Christ. Submission. Submission is not something that we, unless you totally surrender to God, it's not something that comes natural. Unless you remember your child, the innocent baby boy, baby girl, you know, just like awesome, beautiful, just yes, mommy, yes, daddy, and all of a sudden they turn a certain age. It's like, what? So we are born sinners. In need of repentance, in need of Christ. We don't teach our children to be selfish. It's in the human nature to be selfish. So that's why we all need God. We need to submit to the word of God. Don't make logic. Do not logic with the word of God. What God says, you take it and you will live. As a matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible. It's Joshua 1:8. Let's read it. It's not my note. Let's go read it. Let's go there. Joshua 1:8. That's in the Old Testament. Joshua 1:8. We're talking about submit to God. Be real. For you to be one of the benchmark for anybody to, any Christian to show that they're real, they're going to submit to the Lord. So Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction continually. Study this book, the Bible, continually. Meditate on it. How? When? Day and night. What happened? Help me out. So that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed. So everybody wants to prosper, right? Amen. I do. I want to succeed in everything I do. But the word of the Lord give me a recipe right here. It says, make sure you study the book. May the I think some other version says, do not let the book of the Lord depart from your mouth. And you know, another benchmark that someone is real in their relationship with the Lord, the word of the Lord will be in their mouth. You know why? From the abundance of the heart, your mouth speak. You know why people curse all the time? It's because their mouth is full of curse, of dirtiness. Their thought is dirty. They talk dirty. I mean, it's not going to be, you cannot give what you don't have. From within whatever your heart, as a matter of fact, the Bible says it in Proverbs chapter 4:23. It says, among everything else, guard your heart. Be careful. Because from your heart, that's where the source of life comes from. Your heart is the source of life. So if your mind is pure, your mouth, your action will reflect it. Submit therefore to the, James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God and then resist the devil. Then he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. What's happening here? James chapter 4 verse 7. It says, you draw near to God. Anybody wants to feel so close to God? I tell you, God already wants to be close to you. The only thing we need to do is draw near to him. And someone may ask, how do you do that? Well, I'll let you figure that out. I don't have time for this. This is another subject. How do you draw closer to somebody else, to somebody? You be intentional. You text them. You call them. They check on you. You check on them. That's how you develop a good friendship. That's how you build a friendship. You check on the person. They check on you. You intentionally plan to spend time together. If you don't do that, you just have an acquaintance. I know you. I'd say, yeah, hi, how you doing, sister? You good, brother? How you doing? But you know, I'm going to get to know you when we start being intentional to spend time together. So I talked about that. And then, of course, we say that's humbling yourself is something that's very hard for people to do. Last week, I touched on, there's one verse. It says, to be real, one of the first things that needs to happen in a believer's life, you need to be born again. Simple question. Are you born again? Est-ce qu'on fait ton deuxième fois? Are you born again? Are you converted? How do you say born again in Spanish? Nacido de nuevo. You must nacido de nuevo. Nacido de nuevo. You must be born again. You must be born again. Are you born again? It's not enough to, I grew up in church. You know, being born again is something that happened once. But like I said last week, once saved is not saved. It's not always saved. You must work your salvation with fear and trembling. But submitting to God must be an ongoing process. You have to continually submitting to God. You have to, until we see Jesus face to face, we have to resist the devil. Because we're in a fight. You have to be delivered over and over. Our mind needs to be renewed on a daily basis. I talked to somebody, I have a friend, he says, man, one of my prayers every day is that I said, Lord, renew my mind. Because when our mind, I mean, you know it, the enemy, the first place he attacked us is in your mind. When he gets you in your mind, I mean, he gets you. But when you're free in your mind, Your mind is renewed, transformed, conformed by the word of God. And then you go there, it says, that's when you know what it's like to live a life that pleases God. You know what it's like to live a life that pleases God when your mind is renewed. But how do I renew my mind if I never spent time reading the word of God? How do I renew my mind? How do I know the difference between God's plans for me and Satan's plans for me? Let me remind you again. Satan has a plan for you. Did you know that? Let me hear you say amen. You knew that. You know what the plan is? Kill, steal, destroy, give you no future. And then I go on, tied to last week. You live in constant anxiety. You're always anxious. Fear. Fear of tomorrow. He comes, it's like, and those people, and I'm serious, some people, they love the Lord, but you know what needs to happen in their lives? There needs to be a revelation why certain things keeps repeating. Why there is this pattern. And then once you realize why this pattern is, why there's this repetitive pattern, that's when you tackle the pattern and you get delivered up here. To still give you anxiety. And of course, we use Psalms 139 verse 23, one of my new favorite verse for the season. The other day, I mean, every day I've got, of course, I encourage you if you can, I've got this app beside what I read, but I've got this app that shoots me a verse every day. I think it's God bless whoever is doing it. But, you know, because sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is good. It goes with what I read this morning. This week I had three times Matthew chapter 6. That's not coincidence. The Lord is reminding me, Ricardo, be anxious about nothing. Whether you were here or not, whether you heard what I said last week, it was my message. When you go to the doctor, you take what the doctor said to heart. Because if you don't, you're in trouble. And I pray that every day the Lord speaks to you here. You take what he's saying to heart. You apply it in your life. It says in Psalm 139 verse 23, it says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. And then, of course, last week we finished with, is anxiety a sin? And we concluded, by the word of the Lord, anxiety, yes, is among the many sins people do. Because being anxious is creating us a lack of faith. I can't believe God. Anxiety actually makes us sick physically as well. Anxiety gives us ulcers. I'm like, really? I read that. I'm like, oh my goodness. Lord, set me free from that anxiety. Boils, headaches, nightmares, disturbed sleep patterns. You know, anxiety also create excessive cravings. Now, when we say the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he wants us to not feel good physically also. When you're not well physically, when you're in pain, man, it's like life is miserable. So when we're anxious and then we go drinking Coca-Cola all the time, that's not good for you all the time. Or we eat. You know what happened to us when we eat, never give room for time for our intestine to recover? We get big. We get unhealthy. Now, I'm not saying everybody's big is unhealthy, okay? Because I know this could be a very touchy subject. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, anxiety, if you go and research it, it creates an unhealthy eating habit. Why do, when I'm anxious, I don't crave for two sets of celery? You know those sticks of celery? Why don't I crave those? Why don't I be like, man, Jerry, I know I've seen you grow some good long carrots. Do you have any of those, brother? Why do I want a dozen of donuts? It's the sugar that brings comfort to our bellies. And it creates, it's just, guys, please. They say eating healthy here in America is very expensive, but you don't need to eat that much. God wants us to be, not healthy, but I'm talking about in the context of the enemy has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy, but he wants to kill, steal, and destroy us physically. You can so much in your mind, in your spirit, loves the Lord, but if you're physically ill, it affects you. So therefore, you're not going to worship the physical body, but you need to take care of your physical body. Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. And then we touch about your body. Some of us, we don't like the fact that we're getting bald. We don't like the fact that we're getting older. You know, like, man, don't like what I look. Please, gracefully old, aged. Great. Grow old gracefully. One of my favorite verse again. My body and flesh may fail, but God, you remain the strength of my heart. You remain the strength of my heart. Guys, the only thing God asks of us is that we believe in the Son and we live a life that pleases Him by faith, not by might. Not by power. This is a beautiful verse. We read it this morning in Psalm 84 verse 3. It says, even the sparrows have found a home. And the swallow a nest for herself. Where she may have her young. A place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King, my Savior. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both your soul and your body. How many times we forget about this? And we live in a constant fear of men. What does people think about me? We care a lot about what people think about you. How people see you. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 10, he says, stop it. Don't be afraid of people who can only kill your physical body. You should have a fear of the Lord because God can not only destroy your body, but also your soul. And it goes on, verse 29, it says, what is the price of two sparrows, two little birds, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. The very hair on your head are all numbered. It's like, okay, God, it's your will that I go bald. All right, Lord, glory to God. It's your will. I can grow a beard, though. I might start doing that. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's like when you read the word, sometimes we're too fast. It's like, man, even your very hair, every hair on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, there it is. I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I come to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword, a big knife. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. You know what that means? In the name of love, in the name of love, now I'm taking my time to say what I'm saying. And you see it happen in a family. When, let's say, if I choose to purely, righteously choose to follow God, and then let's say if I have one person in my family who hates God, we automatically gonna get equally yoked. Because unequally yoked, right? Because their values and my values are not gonna be the same. Now, we don't cut them and throw them off. We don't shun them. Are you with me? But the sword, my choice to follow Jesus, is gonna bring a separation. There's gonna be this separation. We're still families. And that's why I see it even in our own family. There's nothing like when everyone in the family loves Jesus. Oh, we love Jesus. You know, the most ridiculous thing I've seen in the past years, when people allow their political views divide their family. Brothers and sisters, I've said it here before, and I'm going to repeat it. If you're not married, you have a choice to choose your mate and create a family. But my children with my wife, God gave them to me. There's no divorce in our family. My father, as terrible as a person he is, I didn't choose him. That's why the Bible says honor them. I can't be like, well, you know what? No. I have to continually obey the word, but also acknowledge that when I choose to serve God and my sister that I love so much is against God, we can only connect so much. There's a deep connection that we may never have. Why? Because our values are different. That's what it says here. Jesus says, don't imagine that I came to bring peace. And you're like, well, I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Yes, he is the Prince of Peace. But your own family might come against you, might turn on you because you choose to follow Jesus. Now, you don't turn on them because they're not following Jesus, but it's just because your spirit aggravate their spirit. You ask yourself, it's like, well, what have I done to that you hate me so much? It's just our spirit can't click. Your enemies will be right in your household. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or your daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. So much there. But I just want to read that and then jump to my next one. If you refuse to take up your cross. There's a difference of serving God. There's a difference between serving God and following God. Some people are like, well, I believe in God, but I don't want to follow him. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to follow him. But Jesus is saying, if you really want to be mine, you have to follow me. You know what following means? You remember I gave you that example one time? Maybe you forgot. Was it with the children? You know, it's like when you follow somebody. If Jesus says, come follow me. All right, so let's say, example, I'm Jesus, and Jesus, Ryan, come here, follow me. He's following. I say, come follow me. All right? He's what? All right. He's following, right? And I take a quick turn, right? Ooh. Yeah. What is he doing? Oh, yes, I have this idea now. What is he doing? But how many of us would be like, hang on. You said following. What's up with that jumping the table? What's up with that jumping the chair? What's going on here? I didn't sign up for all that. Did you sign up to crawl under the piano? Did you? No, he did not. Okay, thanks, bud. You know? I mean, and the thing is, it's like we could go on and on, because a lot of times we forget serving Jesus, including following him. But if I'm following Jesus, I don't follow with my own agenda. I don't follow, be like, come on, Lord, not my will, but I have an idea. Well, how many times we pray, Lord, not my will. Oh, not my will. You know, remember, you even bring the Bible verse. You say, Lord, it's like Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Lord, Father, not my will, but. We don't go there. Your will? Because God's will requires following. And following's gonna cost you. That's why a lot of people, they get stuck in just knowing of. You get stuck in the repetitive nightmare of never grow spiritually. Guys, God wants you to be so mature that you can have he can use your testimony. Listen to me. Following Jesus will cost you. Following Jesus will cost you. What did he pay? He paid, he gave it all. He gave it all. If you refuse, and some people, they refuse to take their cross because carrying a cross is too much work. Following Jesus sometimes required to change your, of course, it's repentance. To change, it requires, I was talking to you guys the other day, it's like, okay, what? How many times we said we want to experience resurrection, right? Yeah, we do, because Paul said it. Says, I want to know nothing but Christ and experience the power that raised Christ from the dead. What does that mean? What happened before resurrection? Well, before we get to death, let's go down the list. Let's take it to, you don't go there, but go Mark chapter 14. The first thing, Jesus sent the disciples, one of them, to find the upper room so they can have the food, the Last Supper. During the Last Supper, he said, hey guys, let me tell you this. One of you will betray me. And we talked about Judas. And he's like, Judas, come on. How can you do that? Judas was walking with the Lord, but he had an act. Guys, don't have an act. Be real. Serve the Lord. If you serve him, you must follow him. Choose this day whom you're going to choose. One of the first things that happened to him, Jesus was, he was betrayed. Abandoned. How about that? We don't like that. Can you imagine the Lord thinking, wow, I spent 3.5 years sleeping, traveling, having good time, mission trips, deliverance, ministry. And then, Father, not one can really stand with me. Peter thought he could. Oh Lord, I love you, God. But Jesus, that even if everybody lived, he was serious. I will never. He loved the Lord. He's like, that's why. You cannot serve Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot overcome your sins without the power of the Holy Spirit. You will struggle. You will try, and then you won't make it without the power of the Holy Spirit. You're like, why am I striving so much? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why can't I choose? You need to choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, to encounter resurrection, you must die. You must die on the cross. Die to your dreams. Die to your sins. Die to the flesh. Do not trust your flesh. Do not, when I say the flesh, your idea, your opinions, your want. The flesh always wants something that's opposite the spirit. That's why you cannot serve God and be so worldly. It's impossible. Now, we're not talking about, it's not being religious. If anyone receive, you know, verse 38, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. I thank God for that. I thank God that Kendra and I, we can testify. That's one thing we made still today. We made it our, this is what we're going to live for. Lord, I'm going to give my life so I can have yours. I'm not going to cling to my dreams, my plans, what I want. Because I know he knows best. In the past 7 years, we could not have planned our lives. Someone would tell me this is 7 years later. We look at pictures, 2017, 18. We had different plans. But man, I love God's plans for my life right now. But you know, right now, I'm not holding on to my season. I've walked enough with the Lord. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hope you don't change my plans, this plan. But not my will. I have no idea. You need to get to that place. You're like, you know what, Lord, not my will. Your will, I have no idea. I know Jesus, he knew he was going to die. But then he said, Father, not my will, but your will. You know, let me introduce this story to you and then we'll continue with it next week. And I want you to keep this story in your mind for this week. It's the story of Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19. You read it. And actually, I'm going to give you a homework. Next week, we're gonna come. Next Sunday, I want you to read the story of Zacchaeus. And we're going to do like, I'm going to ask you questions. Next Sunday. Okay? Huh? Singing? Yeah. You can teach me that one. I don't know. I've known that one. Yes, please. We're going to sing it. But the story of Zacchaeus, I give you a homework this week. You're going to spend time with the Lord and see what God is showing you in that story. Write them down. That's good, though. It's a good question. Luke chapter 19, verse 1-9. I'm going to read it today. And then we will elaborate next week. But this is what it says. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus. But he was too short to see over the crowd. So he went ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. Now, I'll give you a little pointer here. Go online and find, in the time of Jesus, what a sycamore tree looked like. And I want you to picture this short dude. And when they say short, and I'm picturing, he was probably this short. I'm short. I'm not tall, all right? But I'm thinking Zacchaeus was about this short. And you go and check out that tree and figure out the amount of effort that he had to put in climbing that tree. Why? Because he just wanted to encounter the Lord. I already give you a bunch of pointers right there in your homework. So he climbed that tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. By name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Those two words. But the people were displeased. And here you must ask, you should put on your Bible, why would they be displeased? I thought Jesus came to seek and search the lost. He was gone to be the guest at a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I had cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Your homework. So much. We're talking about be real. There's so much here. I know one of your versions says, salvation has entered this house today. You see, when salvation, hello? When salvation enter your home, there's going to be, thank you, mama. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, help us to be real. Help us to follow, not just serve and know of you. But help us to follow, Lord. Lord, we submit to your word today. You know, let me ask you this. Which area in your life today that you need to surrender to the Lord? Which area in your life you know, hey, there's no negotiation. I must follow the Lord right there. You know, we're going to make ourselves available as we release you to go home. If you need prayer, don't go home. Come see us. If you need to talk, if you need to confess, repent. If you need a prayer of encouragement, whatever it is, you know, even as we, you know, kind of wrapping this time together, don't just go. Give an answer to the word of the Lord today. Are you real? Do you want to be real? I do. And if that's the choice and you feel like there is a constant fight for me to be real in my walk with the Lord, there might be a great opportunity for you to come to the altar and receive ministry. So, Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless these your sons and your daughters, that you would go before them as they go home. For the rest of the week, Lord, may we be known as people who follow you. Thank you for answering our prayers, Lord. Thank you for touching our brother and sister at the hospital. Lord, thank you for divine healing, divine touch, divine hug, touch of encouragement. Thank you, Father. Lord, we trust you. You are so good. You know, we are a body that has been standing even in prayer for baby Hannah, Lord. We thank you for the work that you began already. Thank you for a new heart for Hannah. Thank you, Lord, for the way you are encouraging the parents and the rest of the family, God. We trust you. We trust you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good, Father. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. And you say, amen.